I'm Steve Howard from the Center for National Studies at Ohio University, and my guest today is Dr. Abdullah Naeem from the School of Law at Emory University in Atlanta. Welcome, Dr. Abdullah.
Thank you, Steve.
I'd like to ask you, as we think about Islam here in the United States, we don't generally associate the Islamic faith with any idea of progress. What does it mean to you to think about an idea of progressive Islam?
I think for me, the point about progress is it's about improving the human condition, about improving the quality of people's lives, and also their spiritual as well as material conditions. And for me as a believer, the role of my religious conviction in shaping my imagination of what it is to improve my condition and how to realize it is very central. And I think that the point about Islam is that we tend to take a very short term and also a very limited view of what Islam is capable of by judging it according to the current status of Muslims. And of course, it is always, of course, easy to say that Islam is not the same as Muslims, but it is not a question of simply what Islam has to say theoretically, but what Muslims do with it practically. And for me as a Muslim, it is about how my religious conviction require me to do all I can to improve the human condition for myself and others, which will eventually transform the social conditions and political economic conditions of all Muslim societies.
Along those lines, why do you think there are such differences between Islam and the West around ideas, at least ideas that we talk about, like the place of women in society or the role of democracy in society?
I think part of the difficulty is that we tend to contrast a world religion with a geopolitical region. So the West is a geopolitical region. It is not a religion, whereas Islam is a religion. When we contrast the West as a geopolitical region with another region like the Arab world or sub-Saharan Africa, then we are in history, and then we understand where people are and why they are where they are. So I think that's part of the difficulty. It makes sense to contrast Islam with Christianity, for example, or Islam with Judaism, Islam with Hinduism as religions. But if we are contrasting a geopolitical region like the West, we need to look at another geopolitical region, and that gives us a historical, contextual perspective. Another aspect of the difficulty, I think, is that we tend also to take a very short-term and very recent view of things. That when we say the West, of course, there is much more to the West than liberal democracies or human rights, respect for human rights or material improvement. After all, fascism is Western. Marxism is Western.
Sexism
is slavery, is Western. So if we take a broader, historically deep perspective, we can see that what we now take for to be the West is, in fact, includes elements which are not really, even for other people of the West, would not be very, very proud of or keen to uphold. So therefore, I think I would rather look at how people share values. There are Muslims of the West as well as Muslims of other regions who share a commitment to human rights, who share a commitment to religion, to religious freedom, to progress, improving health conditions, improve development. That is where we need to create alliances and build solidarity, not by defining people by their religious affiliation, but by seeking to emphasize their shared values and commitments.
Well, that leads me right into the question of, or to consider that the fact that you are very well known as a scholar of human rights in Islamic society, but also you're well known as an activist. What does it mean today to be an activist in an Islamic setting?
To me, I think as a Muslim, the core and crucial factor is the question of human agency. that is my ability as a human being and my responsibility and accountability as a human being to do the best I can to improve my life and the life of people, other people around me. And for me, that is going back to the question of why Islam is crucial for me, is that because as a Muslim, I can never abdicate responsibility for my actions. I can never avoid responsibility for acting or failing to act. So the point that as a Muslim, I'm accountable for my failure to act as much as for the actions I take. All of these come together in the nexus of activism and scholarship. So as a Muslim, I try to think creatively and imaginatively about possibilities of improving the human condition. And as a Muslim, I have to act on what I say. The Quran, for example, condemns those who fail to act according to their speech or what they say. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. That is, O believers, why do you do not say what you do? It is most hateful to God that you do not act according to your speech or what you say. So that imperative of consistency between action and thought is what makes Islam for me as a Muslim an extremely powerful agency and motivation and inspiration to improve the human condition, which I take human rights to mean also.
So in a sense, there is, from what you're saying, there's no point to saying I'm a Muslim if I'm not going to take action and try to improve things. And as well as being a scholar, that means I'm applying the scholarship to improvement of life too.
Precisely. I think that is to be a Muslim is to act according to your beliefs and to be accountable for your action. And for me, that's extremely powerful for as a model for social change. Because I think most of the problems we have is that we tend to say one thing and do another. That we tend to speak highly of what, you know, sort of about our commitments, but our life and livelihood do not reflect those values. The imperative to bring the two together is really what makes Islam a very powerful engine, a powerful force for social transformation. Now, I cannot say any of this without really acknowledging the fact that the state of Muslims today is not according to the true understanding of Islam as they would even have it. But that we can understand in terms of what I meant about geopolitical historical context. All Muslim societies today are post-colonial societies. That is, we have been, or even those who were not colonized like Saudi Arabia or Iran, are still part of the post-colonial world. So European colonialism have shaped the recent history of Muslims and their economic and political conditions in ways that makes it harder to jump into a state of full responsibility and accountability and so on. So what we see in Muslim societies is a struggle to come to terms with the post-colonial condition in a way that really takes us into progress, improvement of the quality of life and livelihood.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Abdullahi, for joining us today to talk about progressive ideas in Islam. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.